Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Amen. So I'm going to try and condense it so that, well, the Lord will condense it. And we're going to just quickly go into it because we want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You can't manufacture God. He manufactures us, so he wants to do something. So we're going to read from the scripture, Numbers 13:23, and it reads, "And then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole, and they also brought some of the pomegranates and figs." Father, today we honor your presence. We honor the movement of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, apart from you, we can do nothing. So, God, we give you reign over the hearts of the people in this church. And, Lord, we ask your anointing, God, because it's that that breaks the yokes. It's that that opens eyes. It's you. And we give you free reign today in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. So I'm going to give you a short background. I'm going to condense this a little bit because we, at the end, we have about 20 minutes. Can you give me 20 minutes? Okay, because I really, really sense that God has been speaking. I think for a season, God was quite quiet. He was taking us through a testing time, a time of trying, a time where even, might I say, a discipline, which is not a bad thing. It means a cutting back so that we can bear more fruit. And so for a season, but we're not in that season anymore. We're in a new season. We're in a season where God says it's fruit season. And there are some things in this season we need to be mindful of. Because as we come into a new season, the residue of that season can sometimes come and try and trickle into now. And we have a responsibility to draw a line to the last season because we're in a new season. Do you agree with me? You feel like something new is happening. And in this portion of scripture in the Old Testament, it's talking about when Moses sent 12 leaders out to spy out the land. It wasn't just ordinary people that he chose to go out. They were seasoned leaders. He chose them to go and spy out the land, to search out the land. And off they went for 40 days and 40 nights, which actually means the testing time. It even means a time of probation. I wonder how many people have been on probation in the last 6 months. Because you know, actually, some of the seasons God takes us through are probationary seasons. Why? Because he's watching and seeing some situations that he brings to us. How do we respond? So he sends out his 12 leaders and he says, check out the soil. Check out the people there. Are they weak? Are they strong? Check out whether there's camps or there's villages. Check out everything. Check out if there's fruit in the land. So off they go, the 12 of them, all with the same circumstances, all going on the same journey, going through mountains, going through valleys, going through spacious places, going through brooks, all going to the same place, but seeing a different thing. And when they came to the valley of Eshcol, it is there that the men decided to cut off a branch. And they decided to cut that branch off, and between two of them, we're not sure which ones did it, but they decided on a staff to carry that branch and that fruit, because it was harvest time then, to carry it back to Moses and the congregation. And we're going to look at what that represents a little bit further on, because that represents something. Everything in the Bible represents something. And sometimes you have to go a little bit deeper for God to reveal to you what he is speaking. And so they came out of the promised land. They went back to Moses and the congregation. And Moses said to them, give us a report. What was it like? And so the 10 of them said, well, the land was great. The soil was good. There was fruit in the land. Look, Moses, look, congregation. We've even brought back these big, fat, juicy grapes to show you there's fruit in the land. And then he said something very interesting. Nevertheless, there's giants. There's descendants of Amalek in the land. And that word, nevertheless, it's a bit of a strange word. It actually means the end of something. It actually means, when you say that word, it means but. When you say that word, and when they said that word, those 10 men, it meant everything is amazing about the promised land that you're asking us to go into. But, there's giants, and they are going to overtake us. And that was when Caleb, which means forceful, thank God for the forceful ones that don't succumb to the voices from around. The forceful one, Caleb, said, hang on a minute, we could go and possess the land right now. What's the matter with you? The same people that had seen the same things, experienced the same land, experienced the same giants, had a different perspective. Then Caleb said one thing, but then there was 10 of them, so they shouted even louder, and they spoke to the congregation with murmuring and with complaining, and the congregation, they arose with weeping through the night. And the word murmuring means to be negative and to lodge and to bring an end to something. So you can see that the 10 spies were bringing an evil report. Nevertheless, even though the land was good, that's what they saw. And you see the influence that people can have. But don't we thank God that the forceful ones stand up, rise up and say, hang on a minute. So the congregation were weeping. By this time, Moses and Aaron had fallen flat on their face. It's like, hello, what are you doing? The congregation were crying. They were on their faces. And that's when Joshua and Caleb stood up again. And not only did they stand up, they tore their clothes. Ugh. You know in Bible times when they tore their clothes? Yeah, it's okay. I'm not going to tear my clothes. You know, I actually have a wraparound dress, so that would not be good. You're better off rolling on the floor with some food, actually. Sorry. They tore their clothes, and in Bible times, it is a real emotional thing. Like, we have hundreds of dresses, and we have loads of clothes, but in Bible times, they didn't. Their clothes were important garments to them. They didn't have wardrobes filled with stuff. And so when they tore their clothes, it was a representation of emotionally, you know what? This is really affecting me. You are really affecting me. They tore their clothes and they rose up and said, the land is exceedingly good. There are giants in the land. And they said, but the giants are our bread. Those situations and those circumstances that you see as a negative evil report, Joshua and Caleb saw as an opportunity to grow their capacity, an opportunity to go in and grow and it not be negative. Why were they able to do that? Why? What was the difference between the 10 leaders and the 2 leaders? Because they were all leaders. Leaders of their generation. They'd been chosen by Moses. There's a couple of points that I want to say to you. The reason why they saw differently is because of the process. Their process and what they were looking at. There's a couple of things. One thing, when what they saw was they saw the end rather than the immediate. It wasn't about their particular needs right now. And I had to really ponder that, because a lot of the time we do feel like, what about me? What about my circumstance? But I really believe that Joshua and Caleb were thinking about the end. Why do I believe that? I believe that because when they stood up and they started to say, hang on a minute, we can take this land. First of all, they pointed to God. If God is with us, then we will be able to go into that land. We will be able to overcome the enemy, and we will be able to take it. Their perspective wasn't even about Moses. It's not even about the leader. It's beyond the leader. It's who the leader represented. It's who's behind Moses. And if their perspective was, and they took ownership. You know what? When you own something, it's a little bit different than renting. I'm in a rental accommodation right now, and it's a little bit different. When I owned my house, I had the choice of having a dog in it. Now, I have to ask somebody. There's a massive difference between ownership and renting. You see, if you rent this inheritance, you won't think twice about kicking it into the touch and walking out. But when this belongs to you, Joshua and Caleb, they took the land. They took the inheritance. It was in them. It belonged to them. It represented their generation. You see, when I took responsibility of this inheritance, Victory Outreach for me, you see, it wasn't me serving necessarily leaders. You know what I did? Around about 7 years into this ministry, and we all come to crossroads, I stood on a cusp. Many times I've stood on a cusp. You know who I've gone to? I've not gone to the leader. I've gone to God. I say, God, you reveal. You reveal where I'm meant to be. You reveal where my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren's land is. Irrelevant who's leading. Irrelevant what they look like. Irrelevant what it seems like. God, God. And I'll tell you something when he shows you. Get out the way. I want to talk about forceful. You want to talk about forceful? This is my inheritance. This is the inheritance for every inner city of the world. It belongs to me. I'm not doing it as a representation for nothing but God. Let me tell you, things change. Things change when you hear from God. See, they were referring back to God. If God be for us, then who can be against us? If God is in this, then who can stop this? If any enemy comes up against me, if God is with me, then he will defeat those enemies. When you have that mindset, when you have that resolute, when you have that perspective, when you have a God perspective, you better watch out who you're coming against. Because God, we have to be people, no matter what the world, no matter what is coming against, no matter whether there's 10 people reporting stuff. Oh, come on the brave. Oh, come on the forceful. Oh, come on the different spirits. Oh, come on those warriors that rise up in the supernatural. Oh, come on and take your stand. Oh, come on, you mighty man and woman of God. Oh, come on and stand up and be counted. Because I want to tell you, this season demands a change. This season is demanding a change. And I'm going to close with this last bit, as I don't have long. When they carried the branch, I was seeking the Lord on this. When they carried the branch represents a pruning. You see, nobody told them to cut off the branch. Nobody told it. He said, show me that there's fruit in the land. They could have brought the grapes, but they cut the branch off. And what that means is that the 10 spies refused to be pruned anymore. They refused the process. They said, you know what? That's where it ends. And the Lord started to show me that unless you abide in the vine, you will not bear fruit. And then he started to show me it's not just you and your relationship with God that represents. It's also representing the church. Apart from him, you can do nothing. And those men decided in the valley of Eshkosh, where they maybe were pierced and going through some stuff, having a little grumble over a campfire, maybe a bit of fish. I don't know what they were doing. They probably sat there talking. Oh, the power of talking, hey? Daba, it is in Hebrew. The power of speech. You know, you can end and you can begin with your mouth. Daba. You debar it. You end it or you begin it. You birth it or you kill it. What are you doing with what God has given you? You see, we have to have a God perspective. And those men, those 10 men, they cut themselves off from the vine. They brought the branch back. They were carrying it, the two of them, like a yoke. And the Bible says that we are to yoke with him and no one else. And I really believe that there has been an unyoking, and it has become hard for many of you in this last season. I want to ask you a question. Who are you joining with? Who are you yoked with? Because the Bible says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Come and rest your soul in me, says the Lord, and learn from me. And if you are struggling and you are going through stuff and it has become hard, I really believe that you have been yoked with the wrong person and maybe not even connected with the Lord, because he is easy. Oh, there's a freedom when you are connected with him. There is a yoking that happens. And when you know where he's placed you, and you know it's him, and you know that your inheritance is attached to it, you'll fight for it. You'll own it. It will become you. You'll stand up. You'll be brave where you've never been brave before. In Eshkosh, not only does it mean, it means cluster, it also means brave. You know the last season? You're going to come out of the last season either a wimp or you're going to come out brave. I don't know about you, but last season was tight, narrow. Was anyone having a narrow time last season? I felt like I'd been squeezed till there was, I'm not sure what was coming out. I don't know what was coming out and where. Wouldn't like to think about it. I believe it was new wine, but you know, sometimes it didn't feel like that. But I'm telling you, that narrow place, that tight place, that place where we all came to in that last season where he was doing a deep work in all of us, we've now come into a new season. And we have a responsibility to begin stuff or to end it. And you know, this is so powerful. Those men were so powerful.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.
I'm looking at Bristol. I'm looking at Bournemouth. I'm looking at the people that yet to know God. So the murmurers and the complainers and the, I'm not looking, I'm sorry. I can't afford to be pecking about with you. I love you. I'm looking at the people that are yet to know God. I'm looking at Lily's children. I'm looking at Lily's children's children, Thomas's. I'm looking at Aaron's children. We have to look beyond, because you, every one of you in this place, represents a nation. You are a mother or a father of a nation. The decisions you make and the words you speak will either end or begin something. See, and I am actually going to close with this, and I'm going to do a short article. You see, before I became a Christian, I'm not going to go into addiction and that. This is where I come from. This is what I represented. Divorce, sexual abuse, domestic violence, heroin addiction, crack addiction, alcohol addiction. You name it, that was my inheritance. So the chances of me carrying that on were pretty high. Then Christ got a hold of my life.